Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Set Listing Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. Joining me today is Beth, one of my new friends. She is a major Springsteen fan, and I did not realize this when I booked her. She also has a connection to one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies. So we
Oh,
may have to talk a little bit about that as well. But
great.
welcome to the podcast, Beth.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, tell us a little about yourself.
So I am a born and bred New Yorker. I've lived here in New York City and Manhattan my whole life, with the exception of going to college at Georgetown University. I was an English major there, and my career is in marketing communications and public relations. And I do some writing on the side, but I've worked across industry sectors, coaching people in media, doing media relations, thought leadership, event production and planning and management. And that's what I do for a living. I'm single. I have three siblings. I'm the oldest of four. My father passed away in 2021, but he was a doctor, so medicine is a big part of my family, as is law. But I chose a different path. And music has always been a big part of our lives. I have a lot of nieces and nephews who all love music too. And I'm passing down, hopefully, the tradition of loving Bruce a bit to them, although they're big Swifties.
Nothing
And
wrong with that.
as
Yeah.
am I. As am I.
Yes.
Not as big as a fan as I am of Bruce, but huge Swiftie too.
There's been a couple of stories about that, right? That he was on one of the late night talk shows and he talked about his daughter was so excited to show play the new album. And he's when they asked, what was it? I thought it was pretty good. And then she's told the story about him bringing Jessica and her friends to a show and backstage and him playing Dancing in the Dark on her guitar and then
Yeah, that's
signing her
awesome.
guitar. Yeah, it is. It is very nice. I have so many questions and we're going to get to the agenda, but I first
Great.
question, do you have a driver's license?
I do.
Okay. Because you hear people growing up in
New York
Manhattan
City, yes,
and
that's true.
living in the city that never get a license.
That's true.
And as someone who grew up in, I was born in a very small town in Louisiana. My dad was in the army. We moved around a lot, but most of my time has been either in Southwest Louisiana or here in Dallas. So the idea of I've taken public transportation only a couple of times. Like at
Wow.
one point in my life, I did. We only had one car, so I would take the bus to work here in Dallas. So I'm fascinated by people that grew up, in
Yes.
that area.
Yeah,
And
actually, that was one of the things that my dad really encouraged, one of the many things that he
yeah.
encouraged me to do was get a driver's license when I we had a home, we had a my grandmother had a home in the Hudson Valley, and
Okay.
so I learned to drive up there, as and my other grandmother had a house down the Jersey Shore. So between those two places, I learned to drive, and I got my license actually up in the Hudson Valley. I took driver's ed here in the city, though. So I did learn to drive here in the city too.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I'm a big walker and public transportation person too,
Sure.
living in New York City. In fact, when I went to Los Angeles, I think I was one of the few people that took the bus. When my friends out there heard that I took the bus, they were like, "What? There's a bus?"
There is a bus. The other question I'm curious that isn't on my agenda is, are you considered the rebel? Because you didn't go into medicine, you didn't go into law. Are you considered like the rebel of the family? Or did are your other siblings go to different paths as well?
My brother's a lawyer. My sister has four children, so she's right busy raising them. She's also a big athlete. My other brother's in finance. So I guess I'm a little bit of a rebel in the sense that I'm probably the most, I guess, pursuing like more of the artists. I love art. Not that they don't, but I
Yeah.
love pursuing creative endeavors.
So, as I told you, I love getting on tangent. So, I love this story. We were taking my niece out to lunch, dinner. She lives in Austin. And she was laughing, and she tells all her friends that she's an attorney. She graduated from the University of Texas. She is an attorney. And her older brother was a musician who was dating a girl that was in the circus.
Oh, wow.
They no longer date. He's now married this wonderful other woman. But at the time, right, he's a full-time musician dating someone in the circus.
How cool.
Younger, her younger sister was living in a commune in the Carolinas, and her younger brother was walking the Appalachian Trail. She goes, "I'm the black sheep of the family."
The attorney.
The rest of them are all out there, and she's this. And so I love that story. And on the other hand, though, she did marry a full-time musician. And so she does have that little bit of art. And then sometimes she sings in the band with them. So, yeah. All right.
Great.
You mentioned growing up there in the city. You already talked about music's a big part of your life. What kind of music were your family listening to when you were younger?
So when I was little, my father was definitely very serious. He was a very serious man. He had a lighthearted side to him as well. But in terms of his musical taste, he was definitely very into classical and opera.
Okay.
But I think there were hints of him liking popular music on his own through his record collection. He definitely had the Beatles, a few Beatles albums in there. And I remember growing up trying to think what else, like Tom Jones. And there were hints of the popular artists of the time, John Denver. But then when his kids started growing up, when we were growing up, we would introduce music to him by playing the radio in the car.
Okay.
And my first musical influences were, as a very little girl, were The Carpenters and, believe it or not, The Partridge Family.
Of
I love
course.
The Partridge Family.
Of course. I actually was on a David Cassidy podcast. She's in the UK, and
Really?
I was able to join her on that because let's see, I was born in 59. I wanted to be Keith Partridge.
Right, I wanted to be Maury.
David Cassidy was the coolest
And
guy
David was my
ever.
first crush.
Yes. So I totally get that. And it's funny, someone on Twitter the other day, who do you think belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And I always,
I think David Cassidy.
and I said John Denver and the Carpenters.
Yeah. Oh,
You know,
absolutely. The
because,
Carpenters.
yeah. And I said, because there was a time where John Denver was ruled the airwaves. He was everywhere. He acted, he did all these things, and he just became uncool. So that's very neat.
Right.
Beth, I love that you influenced your dad. Were you an influence to your younger siblings? Did
My
you?
brother, there is a 2.5 year span between each of us. So
Okay.
there was a period of time when the two younger ones were way too little, and my brother, that's closest to me in age, and I really formed our musical taste together.
Sure.
And we collected cassette tapes, and we were there to experience the advent of MTV. And
Sure.
that also informed a large part of our musical taste. We loved The Who and The Police and the Kinks. And Bruce really didn't come into play until Born in the USA and became part of the popular canon. And that was my introduction really to Bruce.
So that you are exactly taking me where I wanted to go next. So you're so good at this.
Yeah.
Can you remember when you first discovered him, and what about his music spoke to you?
So, I can't remember exactly where I was per se, but I do
Okay.
remember the summer that it came out. I used to be a figure skater,
Okay.
and we also had a family home, and we still have that home in Lake Placid, New York, where
Okay.
the Olympics were held. And so I would spend my summers up in Lake Placid skating. And I remember riding around my bicycle that whole summer listening to Born in the USA.
Okay.
Specifically, loving Dancing in the Dark.
Sure.
Then I would say that also that album also was a part of my brother and I becoming closer with our dad through listening to that music in the car. He loved that album. And so that really turned him on to Bruce as well. What about his music spoke to me? I would say at the time, I was so emotionally naive that it was just about dreaming, finding, holding on to my dreams, a nostalgic look back at America, the American dream, celebrations of home and family and community. And then as obviously my tastes and my tastes evolved over time, as well as the discovery of his expansive canon of music, introduced me to bigger themes like sin and salvation. Knowing that he grew up on the Jersey Shore and also grew up as an Italian Irish Catholic like myself was very similar to me. And a lot of his songs are infused, while he's not overtly religious per se, he's very, I think, overtly spiritual in his music. And that part of his music really speaks to me as well.
Yeah, there is, I have said this, and I am not alone in saying this, but I think in another life, he is a Southern preacher.
Yes.
Right? If he is an adored, you know, that the were, you know, you've, I think born in the US, I think born in the USA, sometimes for hardcore fans,
yes,
is put aside, right? Because right, that was the hits. And
that's why I hesitated to even say it, but yeah, I can't rewrite history. That was my introduction to Bruce.
And I think that's where I think too many people forget that it was the gateway album that got a lot of people into Bruce's music. And we often have discussions, me and my buddy, that if he had kept the blues version of Born in the USA, if he had not done the anthem version, would the album have done as well? Even though that wasn't the first single, was it?
Right.
And would his career be more Neil Young than Bruce Springsteen? Which is nothing wrong. Neil Young, great career, but he isn't the Bruce. As you started growing and expanding, where did you go in your Bruce discography? Where did you go next to explore and find other music?
Probably didn't go immediately next to other albums. I followed him onto Tunnel of Love, and then I started digging deeper and got into Born to Run and the earlier albums. And then obviously over time, I really started following him.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
So picking favorite albums, like picking favorite niece or nephew, but do you have a couple of favorite albums?
It's so hard to choose. I definitely, Born to Run is definitely there. I have to say Letter to You is another. I absolutely adore that album.
So I share this, and listeners, if you're tired of hearing me say this, skip ahead 3 minutes, but I think Letter to You will always have a special place in my heart because of context, right? Mm-hmm. 2020 was such a horrible year. And I remember writing on social media when there was rumor that we might get a new album, that I said, if we got a new president and a new Springsteen album, maybe 2020 would not be the worst year ever in history. And it's a very lonely. Yes, it's a very, my wife and I say we are very lonely blueberries in a very strawberry state here in Texas. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so I think that context of, and then Letter to You was such a personal album.
Right.
You know, that, yes, it is. And it's good.
The timing for me, like you said, the coming out of the pandemic, my father was very ill. And definitely closing in on the last days of his life, 2020-21. And it was like he's been throughout my life. Like he said, toward the end of Springsteen on Broadway, I hope I've been a good companion for you. And he has been that throughout my life since I discovered him, but particularly during that time, that album was a great source of comfort for me.
I wish I could remember who said it, but I had a guest that articulated it very well. He says that as one of the things that he loves about Bruce is how he keeps changing, and I agree with that. He keeps reinventing himself musically. He taught us how to, in his early albums, he taught us how to explore, and then in the middle albums, how to build a family and how to work that. And then like in Magic and Wrecking Ball, how to be more politically active. And now then he's helping us how to deal with the final stages of our lives.
Exactly.
And it's just very touching. So Beth, I always like to preface this question with the amount of times you've seen Bruce perform live. Mm-hmm. It's not a fair barometer of how big of a fan you are. I have had people on this show that have never seen him live that are massive fans. And then I've had people that, because of where they grew up and where they don't, have seen him in the hundreds. But for the record, do you count? And if so, how many times?
I used to count and I lost count. I am somewhere around 150 shows.
Okay. And did you enjoy the last tour?
The River Tour or this? Oh, the this 2020
tour. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him. I went to see him 5 times.
Okay.
And I thought people were complaining about the set list being
stacked. That was my next question.
Yeah, I don't care. He is just the greatest live performer. And he brings me he and the band bring me so much joy. They exude joy off the stage. They bring me closer to people I never would have met before. And I got to see the last show on the tour where he definitely veered from the set list, which was nice. Yeah. I saw the last show at Giant Stadium. I saw two shows of that, the last three there. So I loved it. I thought it was fantastic and can't wait for this go around. Although I'm not really in travel mode for the first part of this tour and unfortunately not able to, I don't think able to go to Europe, but you never know if something might change there. Hoping that he'll announce shows closer to home. I think that there's a little bit of a lull. I'm hoping that there might be some MetLife shows announced. I am going to go down to DC in September to see him.
So I was able to see three shows last year. I got to see the three Texas shows. I was planning to go to the Tulsa show, but got COVID. Yeah. And this was when the band was getting all that COVID last year this time. So I missed that. Then had tickets for both Arizona and Columbus. Both shows got canceled. So I am going back to Columbus. I have tickets for April to go to Columbus. And so far, that's the only show I have this year. My wife and I are celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary, my 65th birthday. And we're doing a week in New England in October. And fabulous. So that's going to be a lot of fun, but also expensive. Going to New England, prime, first week of October, pretty prime tourist season. Yeah, I am hoping to sneak one more show in.
Yeah.
She's pretty understanding of my passion / obsession.
Yeah, so, that's good.
Yeah. You talk about it. Tell me some stories from shows. Do you have something you want to share?
Yeah, I have really specific. I've been to so many. I couldn't recall specific stories per se. So what I wanted to talk about was what I touched upon just now, was that I go to shows a lot by myself.
Yes.
And I never did that when I was younger. I never considered doing that. Never considered going to a restaurant by myself. Now it's the way that I prefer to go.
Yes. Okay.
Not because I don't want to go with somebody. I went to one show with my sister, which was great because she loves Bruce, not as much as I do, but the person that's with me or the people that are with me, I definitely need to be surrounded by the same energy and the same like infectious positive spirit. Nobody that's like a naysayer. And I have met so many people that way by going by myself. Just going out to MetLife in September last year, I was just standing on the platform. I took the train. I was standing on the platform and I was wearing Bruce Springsteen shirt on my Born in the USA album cover on my backside. And these ladies said, "Oh, I love your shirt." And we just started talking. We ended up taking the whole train ride out. We ended up tailgating together before the show. And they came from Hawaii just to see Bruce. In last spring, I met several ladies from Japan that came all the way from Japan. And now we're in touch. And if I ever go to Japan, I now know people that live in Japan. So I guess what I'd like to say is that it's just the greatest way to meet people from all over the world, because he has there's such a huge community of his fans that's a big draw for me.
Yes, and that is the reason why I've been able to do over 1,000 episodes of this podcast, right? Is that, and I often joke that when the podcast is good, and what I shoot for is that you feel like you're eavesdropping on someone in front of you in the queue. You're overhearing someone else's conversation, right? And you're enjoying it. And yeah, I agree with you. There are certainly, I have had people join me and tell a lot of funny stories about meeting Bruce backstage or getting to the concert at the last minute because of traffic jams or everything. But overall, the biggest stories we get are people talking about the friendships they make in line and at the venue.
And even just not even at shows too.
Yeah.
I do have a blog myself and I don't really maintain it regularly, but yeah. I've written a lot about Bruce on that blog. And a couple of people, one in particular about, I guess it was about 10 years ago now, saw it. And he and his wife are very dear friends of mine. And they're just huge. They live down on the Jersey Shore. They live close to me. But they're huge Bruce fans, as well as just huge music fans in general, tied into the scene down there. And Pete is his name, is particularly generous of spirit and time. Yeah. And that he makes sure that people who don't have tickets on the tour get tickets. So he's always on the lookout for people, including myself, who got shut out from a show. And he'll think of you at the last minute and say, this person, he'll match you up and get the ticket sold in the right hand. So it's that kind of generosity of spirit, I think, that is infused throughout his fan base that I love.
Yeah, I remember I was going to Nashville during, it was not the River tour, but I think the one before that must have been, yeah, it was during the High Hopes, Wrecking Ball High Hopes tour, and I was meeting a bunch of fans for dinner that night, and my wife was like, are you not nervous? You're meeting all these people you don't know. And I said, first off, they're all women, so if anything, they should be nervous that this guy's coming, right? I said, we're meeting in a restaurant and they're Bruce fans.
Right.
Right. And she now accepts that.
Right there, you have just that common bond.
Yeah, you have that common bond.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories is there's some people living in Fort Worth and that had been friends. I've had them on the podcast and we talked. And so we were seeing little Steven down at the Majestic in downtown Dallas. Yep. And so we meet in the lobby and we're talking and visiting. And so it's time to go. So we separate and Linda goes, they're so normal. She goes, and she's seen Bruce over 100 times. Yes. We can be normal too. We can go out with them anytime. Yeah. So I love that bond you meet. And I've been lucky enough to meet some of my guests, and it's great. Mark from the UK ended up, because of work, was here in Dallas when Bruce was performing. And so we got to meet beforehand, share dinner, got to visit. And Mark said, I'm not shortchanging seeing Bruce, but it was almost just as good getting to meet you in person. I said, I feel exactly the same way. I was thrilled to see Bruce, but the idea that you and I got to meet. So I understand exactly what you're saying, Beth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I never feel uncomfortable about going by myself, because the minute I sit down or stand in the pit, I'm surrounded by people that are there for the same reason.
Yeah.
And we immediately strike up conversation. And sometimes I keep in touch with them and sometimes I don't, but it's just a great shared experience.
Yeah. And I love this. We are a community. And I really do think, as Donna for Bruce fans talks about,
yeah,
Bruce's We Take Care of Our Own is talking about how we don't at times. But the theme of We Take Care of Our Own is so true, whether it's in Bruce Funds or Spring Nuts or any of the other social medias. There are, and I'm involved in a lot of fandom from a lot of science fiction shows and reading and all this different things. And by far, the jerk factor of Springsteen fandom is significantly less than it is in other fandoms.
Okay, that's good to hear. And I would agree with that.
Yeah, there is, just every once in a while you get someone, but overall it's just really nice. Talk to me a little bit of, you've talked about coaching and helping. So I'm going to let you put on your work hat for a minute.
Okay.
Talk about, how did you get into this, helping people to find their better selves?
Well, it's actually not about really, I guess when I said coaching, it's more about media training. So I do work specifically to help people position themselves and market themselves through the media.
How did you get into that?
I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do out of college. I worked at Time Magazine for a couple of years. But it was more on the advertising side. And then I decided that I wanted to pursue public relations that I thought that would be a good way to leverage my skills in writing and communicating. So I went to work at Cartier, and I worked for the chairman of Cartier, who is the premier storyteller and historian of Cartier, the famed luxury jeweler.
Yeah.
And then I worked in the public relations department there as well. And then I went to work for one of the very first e-commerce software companies. And I was director. I actually started there as employee number 5, and we took the company public. This was way before the very inception of email. So people did not even know what we were talking about at the time. These guys that started this company were really visionary, and we can put 1-800 flowers on the internet. And they did. And we put major retailers on the map in terms of e-commerce, but the world just wasn't ready to embrace e-commerce yet. And then 9/11 happened. So I'm getting off on a little bit of a tangent.
No, please.
That's
yeah.
like the trajectory of my career. And then I worked for an agency for several years. And then I went out on my own. And I've been out on my own since 2005, but I also work, I partner with other agencies and contract under other agencies. That's basically what I do.
And so it doesn't sound like there was a calling. It's just you felt like you wanted to do this and it led to it.
I would say that's one thing that when you say a calling, I wouldn't say it's a calling. Like my father had a calling to be a doctor.
Okay.
I didn't have that same calling. I don't think that this is, I don't know, want to say, I do what I do very much, but I don't know if I would call it a vocation as much as my career path, my career choice. My calling, I would say, is more to be a writer.
Okay.
And I do a lot of writing in my work, which I enjoy, but it's not the same type of writing that I would like to be doing.
And I know you mentioned that you did a blog. And you don't hold that as much as you are. Is there, what kind of writing do you want to do, Beth?
To do a memoir at some point. I don't think I'm there yet, but I'd love to do a book about Bruce.
Yeah.
And how he's influenced my life.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. In what ways has he influenced you? How has his music, and you've shared a little bit with your, you know, fandom has certainly influenced your life, but talk a little bit about that.
You know, he's so authentic. We've talked about it's his music as well as obviously I've met him multiple times. I don't know him personally, so I don't pretend to know him, but he's put himself out there enough that we all know that he's such high integrity as a man. And his music is such that it's so personal that it's personal to the point where he shares enough about himself, but then also brings it around full circle to the point where he influences you to also hold on to your dreams, to speak to your truth, to give voice to the voiceless. That's something that I feel very strongly about, tying it back to, you brought up the movie Bridge of Spies. For those that don't know, my grandfather is the feature subject of that movie. It's a Steven Spielberg movie. And Tom Hanks plays my grandfather, whose name was James Donovan. He was a lawyer, and he wrote a book, actually, that the movie is not officially based on, but it's a similar, he tells us the same story that's told in the movie, called Strangers on a Bridge. And the dedication page to that book is to the weak, the unpopular, and to advocate for the unpopular cause. So I feel very strongly about that message and how Bruce's music has also given voice to those camps of people, particularly through songs like 41 Shots, The Ghost of Chom Jode, Most of Wrecking Ball, Land of Hope and Dreams.
Yeah, my best friend Sam and I talk often that, and this isn't quite true, but it feels true, that Land of Hope and Dreams and American Land are what some people think Born in the USA is about.
Right.
those two are actually more about what they think Born in the USA is about. And I love the idea of us trying to, I love that taking the unpopular causes and helping. One of the things that frustrates me as a blueberry in a strawberry state is the lack of compassion and the lack of even trying to understand someone else's point of view of that. And I was raised in a very strict Southern Baptist church. I converted to Catholicism because my wife was Catholic. And I see what people do sometimes now in the name of conservative Christians. And I go, that isn't what I grew up believing at all. That isn't what I grew up being taught.
Right.
And we used to do, I think we've always had this problem in society, but it does seem now that a lot of people don't want to care for those who may not have it as well as they are. So talk to me a little bit about that and how that's influenced your,
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
just I love the idea that how much your grandfather's statement has
Yes.
influenced you. So share me a little bit about that.
I'm a very empathic person, I would say. I feel other people's pains very deeply. I'm very compassionate. I don't really want to get into politics too much at all or at all,
Yeah, I'm
but
sorry. I've kind
yeah.
of drilled this there and I apologize.
No, that's okay. But my beliefs have stayed the same to a large extent, but I've become truer to myself over the years. And as a result of that, my politics have changed in more recent years. And they veer on, I believe, not to say that one side is more compassionate than the other. But I'm a very highly sensitive person. And as I said, I feel things very deeply. And so when things happen, I cry very easily. I feel other people's pains very deeply. I wish I could say that I do more work on behalf of those people. I don't at the moment. I wish I could say that I did what my grandfather did or my father did. My father was a hematologic oncologist for 50 years, where he took care of very sick people. But I think as a result of both of having those family members, I'm a much more compassionate person than I ever was as a young person. Not to say that I wasn't compassionate. I've always been very sensitive, but as an adult, I've become very compassionate, and I would say more than your average person.
Good for you. We're going to get to back to Bruce in a minute, but I did want to talk about you. I saw as I was reading up that you do help try to continue your grandfather's legacy. So
I
tell
do.
me a little bit about that.
I do. At the moment, I did form a nonprofit, but I'm not really ready to talk about that yet. But when the movie came out, I took that opportunity to have my grandfather's book republished. So I worked closely with the team at Disney when the movie came out to help promote the movie, to go out and speak. In conjunction with the republication of the book, I actually spoke at Harvard Law School. I can't believe I'm saying that, where my grandfather is an alum, which was very exciting. I've spoken at other numerous schools and local organizations up in Lake Placid, where my grandfather is buried and my grandparents met up in Lake Placid. So we have a long family legacy there. I would love to be doing more screenings, and because I feel like the movies, it definitely was somewhat of a sleeper when it came out, even though it was nominated for Best Picture, and it won one Oscar for Mark Rylance's performance as Rudolph Abel. It's gone through a recent renaissance. It's on TV, on Showtime anyway, all the time. So I have many people coming to me, just friends of mine who never got to see the movie, who now have seen the movie and just adore it. It really is a really wonderful movie and a fantastic humbling tribute to my grandfather's legacy from Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I loved the movie. I did not see it in the theater. I'm like one of those. And when I watched it, and I just, when Tom Hanks is one of my favorites, and he's on the list of people that, because I know he's a huge Bruce fan as well. They wish list having him on the podcast, so I could ask him. Okay, so it's you and Rita, Bruce and Patty. Who picks up the check? Right? Do you argue back and forth? Do you go,
Steven too. Steven's a big
yeah. Okay, the six of you are out there, right? Do you go, oh, it's my turn because you guys got it the last time. I just,
Yeah, I guess
yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever know
No, I don't think we
that.
will either. So that's good. I am really glad you're able to share that. But you bury the lead. You've met Bruce multiple times. Tell me a little bit about those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have a lot of friends that live down in Rumson, New Jersey.
Okay.
Where he lived for a long time. He now lives in Colts Neck, as everybody knows. But
Right.
so through mutual connections down there, he also loves Lake Placid. Jessica, there's a big horse show up there. So I've met him up there several times. And I just would see him, everybody else that here in New York, when Springsteen on Broadway was playing, I would go down and just even when I wasn't seeing the show, I saw the show 8 times. But even when I wasn't seeing the show, it was so fun just to go down and be with everybody, to see him entering the theater, to see him exiting the theater. I went on the final night when he and Patty crossed the street, and just to be among that energy. And there was one time, though, let's see, when was it? I guess it was the River Tour in 2016. I was right at the front of the pit. Right at the bottom of at the edge of the stage in the front, and as he was going down into the crowd to sit to sing Hungry Heart, he pulled a mic away and he's, "Hey, how you doing?" So he definitely recognizes me.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So you've gone to a lot of shows. Are there still songs you're chasing, Beth?
Chasing in terms of hearing them live.
Yes.
I'd love to hear If I Was the Priest.
So I got to hear it twice.
Yeah,
I
I know,
was
because he played it
blessed.
in Houston, right?
Yeah, he played it in Houston, then he played it in Austin. And
Yeah.
so I was like, I'm not complaining at all. Better Days is my favorite song. And so I would lose my blank if he threw out Better Days one night
Yeah.
when I was there. But yes, yeah, it was amazing. So
Yeah.
go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard Living Proof. I love that song.
Oh, I do too.
And I've never heard this in concert, although I heard it at Springsteen on Broadway, Long Time Coming. Love that song. So I think those three.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So what's next for you, Beth? What do you want to do next, either career-wise, personally? What's your next things on your to-do list?
I think is outlining my book idea,
Okay.
which I'm not really ready to fully disclose yet.
Sure, yeah. But when you're ready to promote it, I'm going to expect you to come back and so we can
Absolutely.
promote it. Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's what's next for me, really.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe learning to play the piano again. Unfortunately, I've lost my ability to play.
Okay.
I played a lot when I was very good. Unfortunately, I did not have the ability to play things by heart very easily. I'm not a natural musician, I don't think. So I unfortunately stopped playing and really lost a lot of it. So I'd like
Yeah.
to really learn how to play again.
Yeah. If you have, is there one, and you don't have to, certainly don't say the name. But is there one nephew or niece that you think might be leaning a little more toward Bruce that you're going to keep tempting them?
I don't know if they're leaning yet.
Okay.
I definitely would love it to be my nephew. I'd love any of them to love it, but I feel like my
Yeah.
nephew would probably be the most likely. And I definitely, he saw one of those tribute bands
Yeah.
play. I think not Tramps Like Us. Yeah, I guess it was Tramps Like Us, who are great. And he was like, "Oh my God, they were so awesome." I'm like, "Yeah, they're awesome, but they're
Yeah.
definitely not as awesome as the real thing."
That's awesome. That's great. So, Beth, what have I not asked you that I should?
Oh, I guess another thing that I wanted to say was that one of the things that speaks to me about his songs is that he has the ability to paint a picture of reality while also giving you hope at the same time.
Yeah.
In many of his songs. And even in like the Rising album, there are song that song itself, that album was written obviously in response to 9/11. That song in particular brought us all together, and it was right. considered the anthem and post 9/11 as a reaction to 9/11. But it's such a spirited, triumphant song.
Yeah.
And even in the darkest days, he has the ability to bring us together and to give us hope amidst the darkness and light amidst the darkness.
Yeah. This is purely, I don't think there is any deeper thing to this than just it happens to be the timing. The first time I saw Bruce was 2002, just by circumstances, right? So the only song that I've seen at every show is The Rising.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to do more than just the era I'm seeing. But it is something I find very, I find that very comforting that it is such a great song.
It is.
That's great. Any final thoughts before we get to the Mary question?
Oh, we didn't talk about my article that
please.
I wrote.
Yes, I know. We got all the, tell me.
And how the Letter to You film really inspired my father's, the eulogy I gave to my father.
Yes, absolutely.
At his funeral, and how that, in addition to the album being so comforting, that film really sat with me for a long time.
Okay.
And I started to write my eulogy when I was down at the Jersey Shore about a month before he died.
Okay.
Hearing the sounds of the train go by every half hour, every hour. And that's how I opened my eulogy about trains, because my father loved trains. Bruce loves trains. The imagery of the train, like the car, is very prevalent in his music. And I stayed up until 3 a.m. watching that movie, probably for the fifth time at that point.
Wow.
The night before my father's funeral, because it's crying my eyes out. But at the same time, it kept me company while I wrote my father's eulogy. And when it came to I'll See You in My Dreams, I started singing when I was preparing the eulogy. And when I actually gave the eulogy the next day, I had planned to read the lyrics. But when I opened my mouth, I immediately started singing. And it was the first time I ever sang in public. And it felt so natural to me. It almost felt like Bruce and my dad, not to get so heavily spiritual, but they gave me the ability to do that.
As he talks about being a good companion for us, that the spirit of his and your father just gave you that blessing, almost
the strength to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there wasn't a dry high in the house.
I don't think there was.
Yeah. That's nice. I love that. My brother had been fighting cancer, and he died on February 13th. And on February 14th, we had tickets to see Bruce in Houston, and that's where my brother lived. And in fact, we had planned to, my wife and I were going to drive down early to go see him, because we knew there wasn't much time left. And then he had gone. And I'll See You in My Dreams still affects me very strongly.
Very strongly.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful song.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I love that. And I've always joked that I've quoted Land of Hope and Dreams at my father's funeral. I quoted it at one of my closest friends who died unexpectedly. And I joked that one day, hopefully years from now, my son will quote it at mine. But I'll See You in My Dreams is slowly coming up against Land of Hope and Dreams. It's my view that, yes, that is awesome. So I'm going to end with the Mary question.
Yes.
What that is, Jay Armstrong is retired now, but at the time he was a high school English teacher. And he would give his class the lyrics to Thunder Road, and they would read it and study it as if it was a poem. He would talk about the themes that Bruce is exploring. They'd talk about the imagery Bruce explores, compare it to Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken, and other American poets. And then at the end of the class, he would ask his students, "Does Mary get in the car?" So, Beth, that is your
Yes.
question. Does Mary get in the car at the end of Thunder Road?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No doubt in your
No
mind.
doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
All right. You want to tell why?
First of all, he's so convincing in
Right.
his urging of her. And the open road is calling. There is so much possibility for living, realizing your potential. And living your best life out there. And with him, why not?
Why not indeed? Very well. Beth, if someone wants to reach you, how can they? What's the best way?
So my handle on Instagram is Born in the USA Betty. And my Twitter handle is Born in USA Betty.
Okay. And this was so much fun. Thank
I
you
had
so
so
much
much
for
fun
spending time.
too.
Good.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
All right. I'm going to end with I'll see you in my dreams where all our summers have come to an end. I'll see you in my dreams where we'll meet and live and laugh again. I'll see you in my dreams up around the river bend, for death is not the end.
The
And I'll see
end.
you
I'll
in my
see
dreams.
you in my dreams.
Perfect. Listeners, be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Thanks, Jesse.
I'm about to name some people who help me keep this podcast going. They are the wonderful members of my Patreon group. I appreciate each of them. You can learn how to be a patron by going to patreon.com, look for Set Lusting Bruce, and for as little as $5 a month, you can support the podcast and get access to unedited episodes. And as little a dollar a month, you get a handwritten thank you note from me and a shout out at least once a month thanking you in an episode. So, Sean, David and Jennifer, Jeff, Sylvan, Liz, Yetta, Steve, Coach Randy, Rob, Bella, John, Betsy, Levi, Liz, Stephen and Steve, Dale, Terry, Chris, and Mary. All of you are amazing, and thank you for being part of this wonderful group. You know I love you. There we go, another episode. I'm about to go through a couple of things where you can reach me and give me feedback. So if you want to skip this, I understand, but I do hope you check it out every once in a while. I'm available on Twitter at Jesse Jackson DFW. The show is available at Setlusting Bruce. You can send me an email, setlustingbruce@gmail.com. You can send me a voicemail at 469-249-2442. I am currently doing a few other podcasts. Perfectly Good Podcast, John Hiatt from A to Z, where Sylvan Groth and I discuss every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. My Babylon 5 podcast is Last Best Hope for Conversation, where Lou Karen and I discuss every episode of Babylon 5 in chronological order. I still am doing Next Stop Everywhere, the Doctor Who podcast with my brother in time, Charles Skaggs. And then finally, How Many Podcasts, the only podcast on the internet that counts, where my buddies and I discuss pop culture. You can go to our Patreon page and support the podcast for as little as a dollar a month. You can go to our Facebook page, like, and please, please go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review for all of the podcasts that I'm doing It's okay if you don't listen to them, but if you subscribe and rate, it really will make my day better. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
You just heard the fun talking, hard rocking, music loving, album ranking, fan thinking, joy spreading, lyric reading, story sharing podcast that is the one, the only Setlisting Bruce. The theme for Setlisting Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.